This free State of Belief radio podcast is brought to you by Interfaith Alliance, representing 185,000 members across the U.S., drawn from 75 different faith traditions. We're committed to protecting faith and freedom. Find out about the work we do to protect the boundaries between religion and government and unite diverse voices to challenge extremism and build common ground by visiting our website, interfaithalliance.org. Whether you care deeply about minority religious rights, school bullying, LGBT discrimination, the influence of religion on politics, or the influence of politics on religion, Interfaith Alliance is working on initiatives you'll want to support. Learn more and become a member at interfaithalliance.org. From Interfaith Alliance, this is State of Belief. I'm your host, Welton Getty. I'm coming to you from Argo Studios in New York City. Gosh, I've looked forward to this show. We have a very special show planned for you today. For the full hour, I'm joined by a very special guest. Shelley Wright is an accomplished singer-songwriter from Kansas. She won an Academy of Country Music Award for Top New Female Vocalist in 1994. Since then, she has recorded 7 albums and put 15 singles on the country music charts. She sold nearly 1 million albums over her career. As you know, I do this show every week, and I talk to a whole lot of people from a lot of different places. And I simply have to tell you up front, so you'll know that there is a level of bias in this show, that I know of no one for whom I have more admiration, appreciation, and love. Earlier this year, Shelley Wright came out as a lesbian. She's only one of a few openly gay country music artists, I think the first one, frankly. She's chronicled her journey through life, love, and music in her autobiography, Like Me, Confessions of a Heartland Country Singer, which is on bookshelves now. Shelley's latest album is entitled Lifted Off the Ground. Shelley Wright joins us in studio. Shelley, I've looked forward to this. It's a pleasure to have you with us on State of Belief.
Thanks, Welton. I'm so glad to be here. And might I add that the admiration is mutual. There's a lot of reciprocity in the room. I love you very much, and I'm glad to be here with you.
Thanks. The book opens with a gun in your mouth. Tell us how you got to that point, and if you will, go all the way back to a childhood prayer.
I had a gun in my mouth ready to pull the trigger in early 2006. And let me clarify, I wasn't thinking of taking my life because I'm gay. I was planning on taking my life because I had painted myself into a corner in my hiding. My prayer started when I was a kid. I mean, I've never known a day in my life that I haven't had a relationship with God. But when I realized that I was a little gay girl in Kansas, I was told enough things by my church and my community and my social surroundings that was a bad thing. So I began a prayer: "Dear God, please don't let me be gay. I promise to be a good person. I promise not to lie and steal. I promise to do all the things you ask me to do. Please take it away in your name. I pray. Amen." And I began saying this prayer in third grade, because that's when I realized that thing in me that was different, that I knew about. I knew that I was different from age 4, but I identified by third grade that, oh, holy cow, that difference is that I'm gay.
How did you realize?
Yeah. I developed a crush on my third grade teacher, And it wasn't sexualized, much like little kids aren't craving sexual, you know, intimacy with another kid, that they're craving attention. And I really hoped that that would go away. And then in fourth grade, I developed another little crush, and I realized that I cared more about the attention from other girls or females more than anyone else that I could identify. So I began that prayer, and I said that prayer every single day of my life, multiple times a day.
I'm sure that the ministers that you had didn't talk about homosexuality every Sunday, because at that time particularly, I don't think that was going on in many congregations.
Right.
But you obviously were hearing a message that disturbed you, that felt like negation to you. Mm-hmm. If you tried to summarize the message you got every week in church, what was the message?
Leave it to you to ask me such a pithy question. You're right. They weren't saying homosexuality is bad every week, but when they said it, boy, did I hear it. Mm-hmm. But the overall message that I received in the many churches I went to, a lot of different types of churches, Christian, but a lot of different brands of Christianity. The overriding message was, don't be this, don't do that, look out for the fear. Like, you're going to mess this up. Like, you have 1,000 ways to mess up your salvation.
And yet, when you left, you felt comfort, acceptance, mm-hmm. inspiration.
Mm-hmm. I did, and I took comfort in being able to pray to, and I say him because that's just what I was taught. And when I think of God, I do, you know, I've never seen God. I've never seen a guy in a robe or with a beard or anything like that. But my idealization of God, when I think about God and when I've always thought about God, was, you know, a guy in a robe and a beard, you know. So I would take comfort in talking to that guy, and Welton, it seemed insane to me that this person, this being, rather, that was my great protector and my heavenly father, and who had created me, he had made me from dust. I thought it was crazy for me to try to keep a secret from him. So I never tried to keep, I knew I couldn't. And I knew he knew that I was a little gay kid. And I also knew that he knew that I was a believer.
Shelley Wright, country singer, songwriter, her new album is Lifted Off the Ground. Our conversation about life as an openly gay singer continues after this short break. This is State of Belief, brought to you by the Interfaith Alliance. We'll be right back.
Why can't you just believe in me? Not everyone is the enemy. I'm trying hard, I swear I am. I'm doing the best I can.
Welcome back, everybody, to State of Belief. I'm Welton Gaddy. Let's now rejoin our hour-long special. My guest is country singer-songwriter Shelley Wright, who's sold nearly 1 million albums over her career. Her autobiography, Like Me, Confessions of a Heartland Country Singer, is on bookshelves now. You know country music and the country music industry from the inside. I only know it from the outside. My perception is that the music industry is not particularly a hotbed of liberalism. And it may not be the first place that someone who is coming out wants to go, but you were already there. What did that do to you, knowing who you are that you were all right with God and God was all right with you, but the people with whom you had the closest associations were people for whom it was not all right.
Yeah. Well, that realization caused me to end up with the gun in my mouth. It's a thousand tiny little betrayals that I committed against myself. It was torture.
Let's go there for a minute. Mm-hmm. Take us a day or two before that moment. What was going on inside? How did you get to that tragic moment?
It started on the last day of 2005. And I had, in early 2005, I had left my partner of 12 years. And that was a fear-based move. I very much still loved her, was in love with her, always wanted to be with her. Couldn't imagine that I would be a 60-year-old woman without her by my side. We'd been together for a long time. But I felt threatened. I felt that I was about to be outed or revealed as being gay.
So the relationship was secret.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The only people that knew about our relationship were only four or five people in all of those years. Now, that is something. There are other gay celebrities that I know. I'm not suggesting in country music, but there are people who hide in all realms of public life. A lot of those folks have a secret underground network of people who keep their secret, right? Their managers, their people, and it's an understood that they are protected by their keepers. I didn't even enjoy that type of network. I didn't want it and thought it was dangerous. The more people you empower with your truth, it just opens you up to, blackmail, if you need to let somebody go who works for you because they're not doing as good a job as they need to do and they know that you're gay and hiding, do you really want to empower them with that weapon against you? And sometimes I've watched it be used against people. It's not pretty. So my partner and I sold our home and we each bought homes. And I really thought that we could find a way to come back together, maybe have our relationship in private from two separate houses. I don't know what I was thinking. It was crazy. And I developed a relationship, a brief relationship with another woman. And that didn't go well. And that ended and I ended it. And I found myself in a cold, big house in Nashville alone, realizing, holy cow, I've lost my partner. I can't even operate in closet. I can't even have happiness in secret because this other woman that I had this relationship with, she was so freaked out that people were going to find out that she was in a gay relationship. And it occurred to me, I have painted myself into a corner. It doesn't matter the things I have, my financial portfolio, the hit records I've got under my belt, the incredible number of fans that say they love me. I am living a big, fat, stinking lie, and I couldn't find a way out. See, Welton, I have a plan for things, and that's one of the gifts that God gave me is the capacity for critical thinking and to sit down and say, okay, let me work out this plan. Here's how I get out of this situation, or here's how I go the next step in my career. I couldn't for the life of me see a way out of this hole. And it occurred to me, well, it'd be better to kill myself. I don't know how to do this.
So what happened? You obviously didn't kill yourself.
No, I came.
And what?
Close.
I know you came close.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get the gun out of your mouth?
It was at maybe 2 in the morning, and I went downstairs. I had had a 9mm gun that my parents had bought me back in 1991. I'd been mugged in Nashville. I lived in a really bad neighborhood. I went upstairs on the third floor of my house, got the gun, went downstairs to the foyer of my home in Nashville. And I stared into a mirror of a mantle there in the foyer. And I prayed for God to forgive me for what I was about to do. And I put the gun in my mouth and positioned my thumb on the trigger. I was ready to push away to fire the weapon. And as I looked in the mirror, I was unrecognizable to myself. And I recall that my eyes were just as wide as saucers. And it shocked me that I wasn't crying. I thought, don't people cry when they kill themselves? Isn't that what isn't rock bottom, you're supposed to be a mess and a puddle of mush and crying and scream, you know, I felt too detached. And as I had the gun in my mouth and I was looking at myself, I'm not sure how long went by, how many seconds or even minutes went by with this gun in my mouth. And that's I don't know how many of y'all have had the end of a gun in your mouth, but that's a big, cold weapon, a 9mm. And I heard a noise, and it wasn't the pop of the gun. It was my heart beating in my head and in my chest. I could begin to hear it. Gung, 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 gung. And I was fear, and I reached my emotional zenith, and I looked in the mirror and I became fuzzy, and I realized, I'm crying now. And that was the dam breaking. That was me not looking at me outside of my body. I finally went back into my body, and I was staring back out through my eyes. And I don't know, I didn't have an epiphany of, you can't do this tonight, don't take your life. But I began to be back in my body and feeling all that I was feeling and feeling those emotions. And I took the gun out of my mouth. I knew that at that moment I wouldn't do it. I didn't know that 1 hour later I wouldn't be back down there, but I knew that I wasn't going to do that at the moment, and I put the gun back down on the mantle, and I remember how loud it was, just gung-gung-gung, as it rattled back down to the mantle. And I walked up to the third floor of my bedroom and got into bed, and at that moment I knew it, for now, for this hour, for this 2 hours, I can't do it.
Shelley Wright, country singer-songwriter. Her new album is Lifted Off the Ground. This is State of Belief, brought to you by the Interfaith Alliance. We'll be right back.
Close your eyes, squeeze them tight. I wish I might. Keep on repeating your little chant. You might believe it, but I just can't. Wish me away. Wish me away.
This free State of Belief radio podcast is brought to you by Interfaith Alliance, representing 185,000 members across the U.S., drawn from 75 different faith traditions. We're committed to protecting faith and freedom. Find out about the work we do to protect the boundaries between religion and government and unite diverse voices to challenge extremism and build common ground by visiting our website, interfaithalliance.org. Whether you care deeply about minority religious rights, school bullying, LGBT discrimination, the influence of religion on politics, or the influence of politics on religion, Interfaith Alliance is working on initiatives you'll want to support. Learn more and become a member at interfaithalliance.org.
I'm that little voice inside your head. Look at what you've done to me.
Welcome back, everybody, to State of Belief. I'm Welton Gaddy. My guest is Shelley Wright, a country singer-songwriter who recently came out as a lesbian. Her new album is Lifted Off the Ground. Let's rejoin the conversation now. Let me ask you, I think it's a fair question. You may not feel totally comfortable answering it, but that whole CD is so much about you and struggle. And you said some of the songs are heavy, broken. How have people responded to that? I mean, I know, I'll say this, and you can elaborate on it if you want to. I know you've had some terrific reviews.
Yeah.
But it's not the kind of CD that you think of that I'm going to pick this up and play it for the 4th of July or something.
It's not the feel-good hit in the summer, is it? You know, I have been well reviewed on this record. The critics that seem to know my body of work best think that this is my best work, and that makes sense to me. Because I, you know, all of the great artists and painters and sculptors do their best work. You know, they're all crazy. You know, they all cut their ears off and get really nuts. And this was my just crack my heart open on to tape, and if that makes the best work I've done creatively, then very, very well and good. Fans, you know, you got to have there's a palette. We all have a musical palette. And when I'm hurting, I go to certain albums. And when I'm joyous and walking on a cloud, you know, I'll turn certain records on. And I think this album is serving an emotional purpose for a lot of people. You know, but there is some redemption in it. I don't think it's all sad and a downer. I think the songs like Hang Out in Your Heart, and, you know, perhaps my favorite song on the record is Shadows of Doubt. Because I, in many ways, I was talking about an ex-girlfriend in the song, but in many ways, I wondered, what would God say to his lost child who is putting their arms up in front of their face saying, I don't want to know your love right now. I don't want to know you because I'm wounded and I'm mad. And a lot of us gay people have been shoved out of churches and been told you'll never, ever fit in. And I wanted to, in that song, I wanted to kind of make a dual message. What would God say to us, young kids or older young kids who feel like they're never going to get to be a part of a spiritual practice or a congregation again. And there's a line in there, but right now you don't call me friend, but I'm still here where I've always been. And even though you don't know it right now, I'm stronger than shadows of doubt. Yeah, I'm stronger than shadows of doubt. And I liked that maybe that's what I wanted God to say to me at that moment. And I heard that.
Shelley, before the crisis, when you sat down to write music, did you think I am a gay songwriter or I am a songwriter?
I'm a songwriter. I didn't.
And that's true now as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even when I sang songs about he and she, or wrote songs about he and she as far as relationships go, I never, ever, there were a lot of betrayals that I committed against myself, a lot of them. This never felt like one. I'm a country music singer, and I grew up on country greats like Loretta and Buck and Connie Smith and Wanda Jackson and Hank Sr. There were points where I felt like you got to honor the craft and the art of country music. And I never felt that if I sang a song and had the pronoun he, like I love him, I didn't feel that that was a lie, because it was part of the the art of country music. Now, there, and again, there are many ways I knew I was lying to myself and to my public, but that didn't feel like one of them. And when I write songs, I don't think of myself as a gay songwriter. I think of myself as an American, as a Christian, as a sister, as a friend, as a lover, but I don't think of myself, I mean, I know I'm gay, and now everybody else knows it, but I don't think that it distinguishes me from a straight person in any way, shape, or form.
My guest is country singer-songwriter Shelley Wright. Her new album is entitled Lifted Off the Ground. We're going to wrap up our conversation after this short break. I know you'll be with us when we come back. This is State of Belief.
Heavenly days, look at that sky. It could have been raining. It could have been dry. It could have been cloudy. It could have been clear.
Welcome back, everybody, to State of Belief. I'm Welton Gaddy. My guest is Shelley Wright, a country singer-songwriter who recently came out as a lesbian. Her new album is Lifted Off the Ground. Let's rejoin the conversation now. Shelley, I know that you are conscientious about your story. You've been very introspective in telling the story. And I want to do something that you might not do on your own. I want to mine, M-I-N-E, from that for just a few moments.
Okay.
And I want to ask you about what you would say to several people, given your experience.
Okay.
What would you say to a teenager who is struggling with the fact that he or she may be gay?
Well, that comes up a lot. And what I would say to them is what I do say, which is you're not alone. And I send them to a few websites to find information. Because, of course, I'm not a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a member of a church who leads people in counseling. So I do my best to send them to the places where I think they'll find comfort and a shared community. I send them to the Interfaith Alliance and Faith in America and GLSEN and the HRC and GLAAD. But what I would say to them is you're not alone. I know what you're feeling. Become prayerful. Pray more than you've ever prayed. And you are okay.
What would you say to parents who think they have a child who is gay, but they don't want to risk asking?
Well, that's a great question. I would encourage them to plant seeds of compassion and to somehow, in discussions at the dinner table or in the car, bring up topics that, without making the child feel cornered, in general conversation, bring up discussions about diversity and acceptance, and that, hon, you know, there's nothing, you know, we love you. We love you implicitly, completely. But you don't want to make your kid feel like they're about to be exposed. But I would say just find ways to get close to your child and make them know that you are a safe place to fall.
What would you say to school teachers?
If there's a teacher who thinks that they're might be a gay student or a transgender student, some child who's outside of what the school believes to be normal, I would encourage them to become a part of the Safe Space program. It's a new initiative launched by GLSEN this year, and I happen to be the national spokesperson. And it's as simple as putting a sticker in the window of your classroom that says, "This is a safe space." And if you have any inclination as an educator or administrator to be someone that young gay student or transgender student or bisexual student, if you have any inclination that you want to be that safe space for them to come talk to you, put the sticker in your window. And you can go to glsen.org. I think it's .org. GLSEN.org to find out about that.
What would you say to the person you meet at one of your performances or that writes on your Facebook, I just wish you hadn't told us. We had so much respect for you. We just don't think homosexuality is right.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you just keep it to yourself?
Yeah, and that's happened. I had somebody ask me why I just couldn't shut up and sing. And I'm a singer about 6 hours a day, but I'm a human being 24 hours a day, and I'm a Christian 24 hours a day. And I know that there are others. I didn't just shut up and sing because there is a child who has the courage to tell his parent, "Mom, Dad, I think I'm gay." And I don't want that singular message that young person gets, that there's something wrong with them, that they're a freak show, that they're godless. I needed to stand up and say, "You guys have all this respect for me. You like me. You think I'm a heck of a gal, a great American. I need to give you my entire truth, and then you can do with it what you will. My entire truth is that I am gay. I'm a Christian. I'm a sister. I may be your favorite country singer, but this is my whole truth. And if that in any way makes that kid sitting on the edge of his bed in Scottsdale feel less alone and less inclined to pull the trigger or swallow the pill, that's my job as a Christian and as an honest person.
What would you say? You only have a minute. What would you say to Barack Obama, the president of the United States?
I would thank him for the things he said he was going to do. And I would implore him to do the things that he said he was going to do. I understand that certain things have to, that, you know, he can't move the mountain alone, but I would ask him to view, you know, I know there have been a lot of people that say, well, that's not, don't ask, don't tell is not important right now. We've got critical issues, and we've got, you know, hurricanes, and we've got flooding, that those are critical. Well, I would ask him to revisit that word critical. And I would ask him to understand that it is critical when a young person or older young person like myself feels so marginalized by society that they put a gun in their mouth. That, in my mind, is no small crisis.
Shelley, I am privileged to know some of your dreams. That's a trust that I value. What happens if in the years ahead you never find the one partner that fits the partner you've been looking for? And so there maybe is not a marriage, even if marriage is recognized where you are. We already know that you've lost a significant number of fans from coming out. Does that make you rethink what you've done?
Not at all. If I don't find that partner, I know now I have one true love of my life, and it's me.
Shelley, is there anything I haven't asked you that I should have?
Yeah, who's going to go to the Super Bowl? Which week?
Well, we'll talk about that another time. Yeah. Maybe we'll start a fight on this
That's
show
right.
if we do that.
It'll get really down and dirty. You know, I think, I guess one of the things we didn't address, which would be just my new baseline of patience. Whereas before I would have argued, like I've got a couple of family members who are still struggling with my being gay and accepting that. I have a newfound baseline of patience, which is really not in my personality. I was the president of my debate team. And I'm pretty, I like to talk people into, this is what I think. I have so much more patience now with those who condemn me. I really do.
You know, I mean, that may be a product of the peace you found inside.
I think it is. I don't feel an urgency to get them to see it my way. I feel like I hope they come around. I feel sorry that they just completely can go with blinders on. God gave us all, you know, great minds, most of us great minds. And it's a gift to get to employ our intellect. And I wonder, I think you're right. I think I have a new light of peace inside of me, and it makes me really calm. It makes me know, they'll get there. And if they don't, that's really not my business.
Okay, we're down to one word. With what one word did you end this interview?
Hope.
My guest for this hour has been Shelley Wright, a country singer-songwriter who has had 15 hits on the country music charts. Her new album is Lifted Off the Ground. Her autobiography is Like Me, Confessions of a Heartland Country Singer. I think that you see why I love this woman so much. She has lifted our spirits, whether off the ground or not, but I know they have been lifted. Shelley, it was a real pleasure to have you here for a whole show, and I am deeply grateful for you being on State of Belief.
Thank you, Welton. I've loved it. Thank you for having me, and I love you too.
And those, my friends, are the final words for this week's show. Although we have to wrap things up for today, I remind you that you can visit us anytime during the week at stateofbelief.com. And if you like what you've heard today, go tell a friend about us. Help get the word out about State of Belief. And tell people to visit us online and sign up for our podcast. That's stateofbelief.com. And as always, I remind you that State of Belief is a production of Interfaith Alliance. If you want to get more involved in the cause of religious liberty, this is the way to do it. Join us, please. Become a member. Go to interfaithalliance.org to learn more. We'll be right back here on State of Belief next week with more stories from the intersection of religion and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That State of Belief.
That's cool. That State of Belief. That was fun.
Good.
Billy Ray was a preacher's son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along.
State of Belief. Religion and radio done differently.